NOAA's Pacific Islands Fisheries Science Center has an ambitious goal, one the public can help it meet. Its scientists are looking at more than 2 million square miles of Pacific Ocean to look at the effect of human-caused mortality on marine turtle populations. Supervisory research biologist T. Todd Jones is the lead scientist for the Marine Turtle Biology and Assessment Program, and he's with us in our studio. Good morning, Todd. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
There's still quite a bit to be learned about marine turtle populations, isn't there?
There is. You know, there's several populations and species of turtle across the Pacific, some increasing, some decreasing, mm-hmm. and we're still trying to understand everything from their distribution and movements, their population status and trends, and the threats that they face.
We're familiar, probably people in local waters are most familiar maybe with the green sea turtle, honu. What other species are there out there?
Well, in Hawaii, we have the green turtle and the hawksbill. And then throughout the Pacific, we also have the olive ridley sea turtle, the leatherback sea turtle, the loggerhead sea turtle, and around Australia only, we have the flatback sea turtle.
And all of these are present in the waters that you're surveying?
Not the flatback. We don't work with the flatback, but the olive ridley, loggerhead, green, and hawksbill are turtles that we work with.
So what are the things you most want to know?
From the standpoint of NOAA, under the Endangered Species Act, we're largely looking at the population status, so presence and absence of turtles. And then once we understand where they are, we want to understand their abundance, how many, not just the habitats they use, but how many turtles there are for a particular population. And then the trend, is that population increasing or decreasing?
Yeah.
And that's the important part, is the increasing or decreasing.
Sure.
And if it's decreasing, what are the threats that are facing that population? As endangered and threatened species, we're mandated to actually work towards resiliency of these populations to reduce the threats and have them either be in a steady state or recovering.
Of the threats largely coming from human impacts?
There are major human impacts, which can be anything from a direct take of marine turtles to habitat loss, nesting habitat loss, and to interactions with commercial activities, including fisheries.
A lot of them have the same nesting habitat, is that right?
So turtles always want to nest on sort of a sandy beach area. Hawksbill turtles will nest in really unique places that can be more rocky or corally. Green sea turtles typically like a nice sand beach. Leatherback turtles will go very high up into the dunes, whereas an olive ridley will be closer to the high tide line. And when an olive ridley makes a nest, you can't even tell it was ever there. It pats it down and smooths it over.
Uh-huh.
When a leatherback's done making a nest, it looks like a bomb went off.
Really?
There's just craters everywhere, sand thrown everywhere. They're all unique. They're marine turtles, but they're unique. Some eat jellyfish. Some eat seagrass.
There's
a lot of activity. And
all
behavior.
Of which adds to the challenge of doing any kind of assessment of the population, mm-hmm. right?
A lot of variables and parameters that come into understanding the populations.
So what kind of tools are available to you?
The classic tool for ecology is capture, mark, recapture. So you're conducting a survey, and you capture an animal. It could be a hand capture, or if the animal's basking on the beach or nesting. And then you mark the animal. It could be a microchip. It could be a flipper tag, a tag that goes onto the animal. Or in the case of some of our research, you do a marking of the shell, maybe a temporary mark. And that's how we get at numbers, how many animals there are. And so when you conduct another survey and you observe a certain amount of turtles, how many of those animals had you already seen? So that's mm-hmm. a capture, mark, recapture. That also helps us with growth rates. When you have a recapture of an animal, you understand how fast they're growing. What would be their residency time? How long do they live in a certain area before they become mature? And then how long are they mature? How often do they reproduce? These are all based in the classic animal observation survey and mark.
And this is where the public comes in.
This is where the public comes in. We have a unique opportunity with the honu, with the Hawaiian green turtle. And many might know this, but the Hawaiian green turtle that you see in the main Hawaiian Islands, 96% of the nesting takes place in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands,
yeah.
specifically in the French Frigate Shoals. So we can have 800 to 900 females showing up on East Island, a little sand spit in the Northwesterns, and they'll show up in the summertime to nest. And a female will go up there maybe once she's mature. Once every 3 to 4 years, she'll make the migration to the Northwesterns. She will lay maybe 4 to 6 clutches of eggs, 100 eggs per clutch. And she'll do that about every 2 weeks, and then she'll migrate back to the main Hawaiian Islands. And since the 1980s, for almost 40 years now, we send researchers to the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands. And we do these surveys, these nesting beach surveys. And this past year, we actually did what we call saturation tagging. So every female and every male that came up to bask when they weren't breeding, we marked them. Mm-hmm. It's a temporary marking. It's a shell etch. So we etch their shell, which is the same as your fingernail or the keratin like your hair.
It's going to grow out.
It's going to grow out. And so we etched a shell and we put paint in that etching. And they have a number. And that number means something to us. It could be a T in a number, which means it was on tern. It could be an M, which means it was a male. It could have a G, which means it was on gin, or a T for trig. These are the various little sand islands in French Frigate Shoals.
Uh-huh.
And when someone sees that, they can actually report it. So these animals are all mostly going to come back to the main Hawaiian Islands, Oahu, Maui, the Big Island.
Yeah.
And they're going to come back to the various areas to their foraging grounds. And they'll live in about a 1 to 2 kilometer squared area where they'll rest at night in the reef under rocks, and they'll forage on the algae. And we can then link these breeding adults to their important foraging habitats. And that's the main goal here. And if people see a number, they can actually take a picture, and they can send that to respectwildlife@noaa.gov. And we, through the Citizen Science Project, we'll get valuable information on these viable adult breeders and, yeah, and where they forage.
I love the whole effect of the citizen science movement on science, and it really does that information can be quite valuable, and you just don't have a number of people to to gather all that information, do you?
No, it's interesting. So since the 1990s, we have satellite tagged just over 20 sea turtles in Northwestern Hawaiian Islands, and that's a tag that sends a signal to passing satellites, and it can tell us where the animal's moving.
Uh-huh.
And so we've had 20 tags that, again, the goal was to link the animals to their important foraging habitats. We've already had over 30 reports from this last year. So we've been able to do in a month or two with the citizen scientists what took us before a couple decades to learn.
That's really that's a quantum leap, isn't it?
It is.
How far away is French Frigate Shoals? I'm interested in this whole migration. That's pretty...
Right, it's about 1,200 miles migration for the animals.
How long does it take
back? You know, it's interesting. One, for the animals that we've satellite tagged, where you actually are seeing the track of the animal, when they leave the French Frigate Shoals, they can make it back in a few days, in about 3 to 5 days, and we've seen them already coming to their home area, if you will, their home foraging area.
Demolishing the myth of the slow turtle, right?
Yes.
Thanks very much, Todd. Supervisory research biologist T. Todd Jones is the lead scientist for the Marine Turtle Biology and Assessment Program with the NOAA Fisheries Pacific Islands Fisheries Science Center. You can learn more about the study on our Facebook page, The Conversation.